When's the last time you successfully purchased an item through Craigslist or the classifieds? If you could think about it and it went well, then you are one of the lucky ones. In a recent EPP bonus episode, Classified Paranormal, things didn't go all so smoothly. It is a hauntingly disturbing story you don't want to miss.
I'd become an EPP for this story alone.
When you become an EPP, you're keeping our show on the air. And in exchange for your $5 a month donation to the show, you're getting access to more than 50 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, archived shows, and more. The best thing is it keeps Real Ghost Stories Online alive and kicking. So please consider supporting the show, enjoy all of the bonus content, and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, could a listener have had a brief instance of feeling residual fear? A great-grandfather enjoys checking in on his future generations. Not even death could keep a lady from visiting her sister in a nursing home. And an entity makes a pit stop in a listener's apartment as it is literally just passing through. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
What do you think is the most haunted place? Like, not specific location, not like the Waverly Asylum, but like type of place, like apartments, funeral home, like on that level.
Hotel? I think so.
Why is that?
Because most of the time, if you're in a hotel, you're feeling some kind of emotion. You're either happy that you're traveling or you're upset because you have to be in a hotel and you're not at home.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot more emotion fluctuation versus an apartment, because an apartment, that's home.
Sure.
And you kind of feel calm and peace there. I don't know too many people that ever feel at home in a hotel, no matter how much they travel.
Yeah, or if you have to stay an extended period in a hotel. A lot of folks, you know, have done that at some point in their lives. And again, it's not, you're exactly right. No matter how long you're there, it's never quite home.
Yes.
There's always a bit of uneasiness there, even when you're having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when you're just, you're on a vacation, it's still, well, it's a hotel room. Not quite what I'd have at ideal home.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a good answer.
Thank you.
I think, yeah, I don't know where I would think. I may land on that exact same answer if I were to really ponder it. But I'm not, funeral home was one that was coming to my mind a lot, really, because we've had so many stories of it, and not because of the bodies that go through a funeral home, but more so just because of all the very intense emotions that the living are expelling while they're there. Really nothing to do with the dead, just the living.
You know, that would be a second answer. I just think hotels probably have more of that,
sure,
because there's just sheer numbers, and usually hotels are old.
And okay, take it a step further. Hotel near what?
Water.
Okay. Anything else? Hotel near hospital? Hotel near funeral? Like where you would have a lot of people showing up, you know,
mm-hmm,
and for extended period of times. There's a hotel in town here that's really close to one of our larger medical centers. And I've always kind of, and it's a newer one. It looks like a normal, friendly hotel.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what it is, but if there wasn't a hospital next to it, it just looks like your average run-of-the-mill, like, Fairfield-type inn,
mm-hmm,
okay? But I've always wondered, you know, there's probably a lot of people staying at that hotel who are not sleeping very well.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because they're there for a loved one who's at the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be routine or whatnot, there's probably a lot of very uneasy people at that hotel. So, yeah, I bet that would be a real active one, if you will. Or a really old one, too. You know, that goes back to, like, the old downtown, you know, like, what's the one that's here in Kansas that, is it the Benton? No, not Ben. What is it called? There's like a restaurant attached to it. The old something hotel.
Beaumont. Yeah.
Something like that.
Uh-huh.
I know that the Beaumont here now is not the original Beaumont, right?
Are you thinking that or the Brookville?
Brookville.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's not the original.
No, that's not the original.
But something like that, where there's a lot of history there.
Sure.
So, anyway, enough about haunted hotels. Just thought I'd ask. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. Of course, you can also write in on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So there's lots of ways to get your stories into us here at the show. Let's kick off the show today with a letter. This one comes into us from Jody. Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love your show. I've written in before, and it was so exciting to hear my story read on the podcast. I started squealing when I heard it and had to rewind. I wrote in about the bed that was shaking and I had gotten from my sister. I thought it was interesting that you had not heard of using oil before to anoint and pray over things, which is why my brother had done at my sister's house. I'm a Baptist, and since we don't have priests, we don't have holy water. After hearing you ask about it, I started wondering why oil was used. Then I ran across the verse Mark 6:13, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. I think based on verses like this, that might be why they say a Baptist use oil instead of holy water. And Tony, not sure if flavored oil would work, but it would be tasty. Anyway, I just wanted to answer that because it was an interesting thought. So on to my story. I have another one to share. When I was pregnant with my son, we had gone to visit my husband's parents out of town. They were living at the time in a double-wide trailer. It sat on some property that had a house that an older lady lived in. They were renting at the time because they moved around a lot with their jobs and it was not feasible for them to buy something. The only thing I knew about this trailer before we went to visit was that the older lady's daughter used to live in it. We had supper, and at some point in the evening, I had to use the restroom. It was off the den, which was off the living room. As I was exiting the bathroom, I saw, or rather got the impression, quite suddenly, of a man standing in the middle of the den, almost blocking my path coming out of the bathroom. I've always been sensitive. It was weird because I know I saw him. It was almost like I saw it in my mind's eye. I remember being so startled, I just kind of stopped for a minute, not quite believing what I had seen. I did not mention this to my husband at the time. I, needless to say, did not sleep fitfully that night. And when I woke up, I had three long scratches across my back. They did not hurt, but were not in a place where I could have done it to myself either. When I saw them, I told my husband what I had seen. He, of course, laughed it off because he's not as sensitive in the least. At breakfast that morning, his parents were asking how we slept, and my husband jokingly said, "Oh, Jody said she did not sleep that well." His dad asks, "Why? Did she see our ghost?" This floored me. My husband's parents are deeply religious. I was not sure they believed in such things. I just kind of laughed nervously. Then his dad went on to tell us that the landlady's daughter used to live in the trailer, and that her boyfriend showed up one day and shot the daughter, killing her, and then shot himself. This completely freaked me out, and I realized that I'd probably seen the boyfriend the night before. After that, I told my husband that I would never stay there again. Thankfully, we never did. So that's my story. What do you think? I always like to hear you and Jenny's take on things. Thank you again for doing the show. I'm now a proud EPP and am binge listening to all the old episodes. They're deliciously spooky. Thanks again, Jody.
I'm thinking that there is a level of sensitivity that is heightened when you're expecting.
Okay.
I think it's almost a protection type
thing. Sure.
Because, like, our sense of smell is heightened and things like that. And that goes back to, you know, being able to smell things that may be a danger.
Sure.
I think that you're more sensitive when you're expecting, and that might be why she was able to see that. She may have been able to see it regardless, but I think that's something we don't talk about very much. That's probably something worth mentioning.
Where every sense is heightened, and we just don't necessarily recognize that as being a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But a sense it is nonetheless,
mm-hmm.
and would certainly also be heightened along with everything else.
Yes.
So it's a pretty normal thing.
Sure.
Just not recognized.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that being the case. Would you stay in a place for a long period of time if you were in that situation?
Even if I knew it wasn't quote-unquote haunted,
mm-hmm.
meaning nobody else had experienced something there,
yeah.
it may very well be haunted, but they're going to say it's not if they didn't experience something. I would say probably not, because I don't think I could get my mind past what had happened there.
Sure.
I'd always be thinking about that.
Yeah, and that's probably not... You want to be in a good mindset as best you can.
Yeah.
In that state. So having something like that
mm-hmm.
go there is not the best of things. Interesting story. Thank you for writing that in. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Lindsay writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I recently found your podcast on Podcast Addict app, and I just wanted to say how much I enjoy your show. I have so many shows to listen to in order to be current, and I'll listen to them while I work. I love that there's a non-judgmental place for everyone to share their experiences. This is so helpful when this is still considering something taboo or considered something taboo or not real. In saying that, I don't think that I'm a medium or anything like that, but I'm just more open than most people, I suppose. My family is just different as well. I have so many stories that I'd love to tell you, but I'll start with just a few small ones because I could go on for days with them all. When I was a young girl, I used to see a man lean around my doorframe and look down at me while I was lying in bed at night. My bed was up against the wall right by the door, just to give you a frame of reference. I could see this man as if he was a real person. He wore overalls that were dark denim color, a blue plaid shirt, and he had jet black mustache and hair, and wore a cap similar to a newsboy's cap. I never felt fear when I saw him, but being a child, it did bother me because I did not know who he was. When he would lean into the doorway, I would come wide awake, and I knew I was not just dreaming him. I'd tell my mother about him in great detail, and she'd always tell me that I was dreaming or that it was my dad just checking in on me at night. At some point, he stopped visiting me, and I never really thought about him again. I later found out why my mother would always just brush it off. When I was around 17 or 18, my grandmother, mother, and I were looking through all of my grandmother's old picture albums when I came across a picture of a man that looked incredibly familiar, but I could not remember ever meeting him. My mother told me that it was her grandfather, my grandmother's father. He died many, many years before when my mother was a young child. He was a very sick man and ended up dying in the hospital, but when he died, everyone that was in his house heard him scream from his bedroom. Rushing up there, they realized he was in the hospital. A few minutes later, they received a call from the hospital that he had passed. But my story doesn't end there. I was also told that I'm not the first person that he has visited. He's visited all of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren and some of his great-great-grandchildren. He's even spoken to a few of them, but only the grandchildren that understand Italian, his English, is not great from what I hear. Seems like he likes to check on his entire lineage. One more story for y'all. I recently listened to an episode where you were discussing whether or not werewolves were real, and a visit to my mother's father's family, his mother and father. In Comanche, Texas, my mother, who was a young girl at the time, was being forced to take a nap on a closed-in porch at the front of the house. The bed was located underneath the window that looked out into the street where you could see all the way down the block. It was dusk, so there was still plenty of light out to make out details. My mother had not been sleepy, so she sat up in bed and looked out the window where she saw what she took for a man walking up the street towards the house that she was in. She described him as walking oddly and noticed that he was covered in long, dark hair and his body under extremely tattered clothing that was ripped and stained. As he came closer in his weird walk, she noticed that there was something all over his face, too, and then realized it was hair as well. She said it was like alarms were going off in her head, but she could not look away from this person getting closer. They began to cross her side of the street, and she was looking around for the adults and other children that would have normally been playing outside, but no one was around. She said that she then got up and went into the house and found the adults, who then rushed out front, but the man had gone. She had not been asleep when she saw this man walking up the street. Now, you may or may not believe this. It's not the only werewolf story I have. I have another from a coworker of my mother's from when he was a teenager in El Paso, but I'll save that for another time. Jenny, I also believe in Bigfoot and believe that I have seen one of these creatures in Colorado, but I'll go into more detail later. Y'all do such a great job. Keep up the good work. Lindsay. Lindsay, thank you for writing in your story and sharing those experiences with us. Very interesting, you know, ones to ponder when we start talking about werewolves and Bigfoot and things of that nature. I'm very open to anything being a possibility. Of there being some sort of unrecognized species or creature out there. They still find those all the time, species in nature, especially in areas that are not very inhabited. So I'll say this. I believe that there's always that possibility of something like that existing out there. What I also wonder about sometimes when people see entities of that nature or beings of that nature is, could they be ghosts? Could they be something dark, something demonic, something scary that's taking that form because it knows it's going to scare people? This is, we've talked about like Goat Man and things like that in the past. I wonder if that could also be the explanation for something like that. The other thing to consider when you're talking about things like a Wolfman, a very unshaven individual. They are out there. Remember many a trips to county pools as a child and not always seeing the most groomed of individuals there who I imagine on a dark night in the shadows, had they not been acting normal, could probably also have passed for a possible wolfman. You never know. There's a lot of possibilities out there, but I'm not dismissing really any of them as being an answer to what you had experienced. The phone number here is 855-853-4802. Our next letter comes into us from Dave. Hello, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your podcast for a while, but this is my first time writing. I've always had an interest in the paranormal, as well as sci-fi. And when I was younger, I'd watch shows like The X-Files and Unsolved Mysteries, so your show is right up my alley. I can't say that I've ever had an experience with a ghost, but starting about 10 years ago, give or take a couple of years, and I was in my mid-20s, I began having what at the time I thought were demonic dreams. I wonder if they were night terrors, but I don't know for sure what they were. I'd have dreams that depicted horrific events, such as people being tortured and plane crashes, and often there'd be distorted, grotesque figures appearing like caricatures of people. The dreams would be so disturbing that I'd make myself wake up, and it would be at that point, after waking up, that I would see blobs of colored light floating around my room. Usually these blobs would be red. I'd be so terrified that all I could think to do would be to pray, but my whole body would be paralyzed, so it would take a moment before any words would come out. There was one time where, in my dream, a flying creature flew over my head. I could feel the whoosh of air, and I heard high-pitched, maniacal laughter. I woke immediately, and that was the time where there were the most floating blobs. There was one in the exact spot as the creature in the dream. I don't have these experiences very often anymore. At the time, I had a digital alarm clock with red numbers. I no longer keep an alarm clock since I can set an alarm on my smartphone, trying to keep any electronic lights turned off while I'm sleeping. The last time I had one of these experiences was about a year ago. I was staying at my in-laws' house, and the bedroom I was sleeping in had a smoke alarm on the ceiling with a white light on it. This time, the blobs floating around the room were white, so this makes me think that somehow lights trigger these experiences in me. I wonder if you or any of your listeners have any thoughts about what I experienced. I've had another seemingly unrelated experience about a year ago, where I'd woken up naturally but hadn't yet gotten up out of bed. I thought I saw a stick figure running around me. It was maybe half a foot to a foot tall. Maybe it was just my eyes playing tricks on me. I haven't seen anything like it before, or since. Thanks, Dave. Dave, thanks for calling in or writing in and sharing your experiences with us. Of course, there's a possibility where the instance is and you're sitting in bed and you're seeing these things of sleep paralysis. Some of the other experiences you had, though, well, not so easy to explain. I don't blame you for trying to keep light out of your room either. Sometimes that can be a hindrance and can also, I think anything that can somewhat put you in a state of being somewhat awake and somewhat asleep, light certainly being one of those things, and sometimes the unnatural light from an alarm clock being one of those triggers, I think can also up your chances of happening to fall into that state of sleep paralysis. That'd be interesting if there was ever a study done where one could induce sleep paralysis on another individual. I wonder if anything like that exists. If anyone has ever tried to do a study like that, because it is such a sporadic thing and very difficult to say, okay, this person's in a state of sleep paralysis or not, and set it up correctly. But I wonder if there is a way to induce that with lights or something of that nature. Very interesting. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And be sure to press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. That helps keep our show on the air. Kelly writes in, hello, Brewskis. My name's Kelly. I'm from Salt Lake City, Utah, and I work at an assisted living senior center. My job was to make sure each and every resident received their daily medications, helping them get to and from the bathroom, etc. I absolutely love my job and the people I work with. One day, my boss asked me if I could work some overtime. I typically work a 9-to-5 shift, but that day, I was asked to work a 9-to-11. Moving on, the evening started out fine. I worked with three other coworkers that evening. It was about 9:30. I was just finishing up helping a resident get from the bathroom to her bed. I was making my way down the hallway towards the staff lounge for some refreshments when I heard the familiar buzzing sound at the front doors. I was the only one around. The rest of the coworkers were helping other residents and so forth. It was extremely odd to have someone at this hour, considering it was after visiting hours. I made my way over to the front doors and noticed it was an elderly woman who wore an all-flowered dress and a purple hat, which was unusual because it was mid-February and very cold out that night. I opened the front doors and politely explained to her that visiting hours were over and would begin again at 8 in the morning. She kindly then said, oh, sweetheart, you must let me see my sister. It's very important that I see her. She was very persistent. I hesitated for a moment or so and then told her, okay, please be very quiet and try not to disturb the others. She graciously thanked me, then calmly and quietly walked over to room 202 where resident Edith Holston resided. Edith, a very sweet woman who suffered greatly with Alzheimer's and dementia. She also was in hospice care at the time. It was then I was paged to help another resident to the bathroom. When I was finished, I waited patiently for the visitor to leave Edith's room. When I walked into Edith's room to check on her, the woman was nowhere to be found. I figured she must have left while I was with the other resident. The following Monday, I was informed by other coworkers that Edith peacefully passed away that night at approximately 12 a.m. I was unnerved and saddened at the same time. I asked my coworkers if they had seen the visitor that night, described her in full detail. That's when one of them gasped and his eyes got real big. I said, what is it? Then he proceeded to tell me it was Edith's older sister, Janice, who passed away 2 years prior. I didn't know what to say at this point and was totally flabbergasted. I do believe in spirits and the afterlife, but have never seen a spirit before until now. I've never seen or met Janice before until now. Considering I have only been working there for a year, and according to other coworkers, Janice would come in twice a week to visit her sister, Edith, and almost always wore a flowered dress and a purple hat. I firmly believe Janice came to take Edith home that night. I love the show. Keep up the great work and take care.
I think so. I think she came knowing that that was going to be Edith's time to pass.
Edith's is a hard name to say.
It is.
It's very hard. I used to have to do a commercial for a bridal shop in my hometown called Edith's Bridal.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I always trip over it. I still do, they host a wedding show every year. And I'm the voice of that station, so I still actually have to read that once a year.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny, because I've been now tripping over that word for roughly 20 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And it seems like a simple word.
Yeah.
But the S
yeah.
is what feels unnatural about mm-hmm. it. But anyway, I agree. I'm wondering what, or why is it that some people have a loved one or a relative of some sort that comes in completely visible, needs to have access to the room with staff's permission by opening a door.
Mm-hmm.
And others seem to just see their loved ones that happen to appear into the building. You know, why is it that some are more like this, where it seems like an actual human being is showing up? And why is it that some are not so much that, and it's all completely spiritual, and it's just, it perplexes me. Like, what's the reasoning?
I don't know. The more we talk about what some spirits are able to do and others are not able to do, it's almost like some people can sing, some people can play guitar, some spirits can show themselves, some spirits are just, like, only visible to the person that's about to pass. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just what they're able to do. And that's why they do it.
That would be a very, very bad disability to have as a ghost. If you can't do ghostly things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're still bound by basically all of the worldly things that we have, doors and objects and all that, and you can't do what other spirits can do, and for whatever, like you were saying, like singing, baseball,
yeah.
And if that is just not your skill, getting through doors or mm-hmm. or whatever it may be, that would really be disappointing as a ghost.
I think so.
You know?
If I'm ever a ghost, I want to be a visible one to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go around and say, hey, yep, I'm a ghost. It's just so they don't doubt.
And then prove it by doing something ghostly?
Try to, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously she was able to disappear at some point.
Mm-hmm.
But why did she not go in to begin with? Maybe that's something where she's hoping the message, maybe it's a message thing. Maybe it's, I'm going to appear because I want this message to get to my grandchildren or something. That, hey, guess what? When I make my appearance, it's going to be known.
Or maybe it was meant for the family to know.
Sure.
Once Edith is gone.
Yeah, that could be too. Look who passed on. I wonder if she was able to share that with the family or if she didn't want to share that with the family.
That
the
would
family
be a
knows.
Difficult one.
Yeah, yeah, that would be very difficult. Be about as frustrating as I was when I was a kid playing Little League and I couldn't play baseball very well.
Yeah.
That's just a frustrating feeling. It's what it'd be like as a ghost that couldn't do ghostly things. Just constantly sitting on the bench, drinking Hawaiian Punch.
Oh, gosh.
And hoping to God you're not called to go play any of the infield. That's how I felt. Love
yeah.
the right field. Down, relax, and oh shit, here comes the ball. This is going to be great. That was my childhood. 855-853-4802 is our number. Melissa writes in, hey guys, Melissa from San Jose, California. So I wanted to write you guys with some strange things that have been going on here at my job. I work at a hospital. It's a newer building, about 8 years old. The old building was torn down about 2 to 3 years ago. And it's only down the street from us now, and there are condos being built on the land. Creepy, but anyway, I work in the basement area, and no, it's not like a dungeon. It's offices and stuff, so it's not creepy. Although the morgue is a hop, skip, and a jump away. Moving on, recently, I would say within the last 2 to 3 weeks, things around here have been strange. The last office worker to go home from this area was leaving super late because she had some special projects to finish up, and by super late, I mean 11 p.m., which really was the only people around during that time in this area, like housekeeping, but then they are out of here by 7. So she was here by herself, and the toilets would flush over and over for about a minute or two, and then do it again, and then stop. Naturally, when she first told us that we were cracking up, and said, maybe it's a ghost that can't holding it anymore. By the way, our cubicles are right across from the restrooms. It's only one men's toilet and one women's toilet, so we see everyone going in or coming out or waiting for the restroom. So anyway, we didn't really take it too seriously. Then randomly during the day, we would hear the paper towel dispenser going. It's one of the dispensers that has a sensor on it, so you have to put your hand in front of it for a paper towel, and it only spits out one piece at a time. You can't get another piece of paper towel until you rip off whatever has come out. So we're like, what the heck, but no one wanted to go look at it. When someone finally went in there was a piece of paper towel hanging in one piece on the sink. So we kind of freaked out. I told everyone, listen, I don't mind a ghost, but the minute it messes with the lights, I'm out of here. The next day, my coworker went to the restroom and the lights shut off. She screamed and ran out of the restroom and told us the lights shut off. I was like, oh, hell no. During the day now, the toilets will flush randomly and the paper towel dispenser will go off, but the lights haven't been messed with since that one time. Now, we literally rush in and out. We have to go to the restroom, but just yesterday when we were talking about it, another coworker had said that she's been leaving small piles of paperwork organized a certain way, and when it comes in the next day, it'll be organized the opposite way. Like if she had it in alphabetical order A to Z, she'd find it Z to A in the morning. Or she'd be looking for paperwork and will find in a binder she hasn't been in months, just little things that are now being all put together, like what is going on? So I throw out, we have a ghost, but no one is really saying, yes, it's a ghost. However, they know something is going on. There's also a construction guy now and who's here now and then who worked on this building, and they'd hear things if they're in certain areas. I'll try and squeeze in some stories or some stories out of him to send also. Well, I'll let you know if there are any more developments of our hospital office ghost. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Hospital ghost.
There you go.
Yeah.
That'd be very frustrating when you're trying to get work done.
Oh my gosh. And imagine having to hold it and hold it because you just are dreading your bathroom break.
Sure.
You know, a lot of people at work, they'll stop, walk to the bathroom, whether they need to go or not. They may just need a break from their desk.
Sure.
But just imagine just like not being able to go because you don't want the lights to turn off.
I wonder how many hospital ghosts interfere with procedures.
Oh, I don't know.
That's something you don't really want to think about.
Mm-mm.
You know, seriously, like, what if you have a... I mean, there's so many people that come in and out of hospitals. I believe a majority of people are probably good intention and really wouldn't try and do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's plenty of assholes who, once dead, really probably don't give a shit.
Yeah.
Who didn't give a shit in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they care now when they're dead? Who would use those abilities to mess with something? You know, you're doing a procedure of some sort. You have all the tools that you're going to need laid out right there. Tools missing.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. I mean, granted, there's usually a lot of people around. So it's not necessarily like, oh, it just slips away. But, you know, things falling over, things not being where they're supposed to be. I wonder how often things like that happen when actual procedures are going on, and it's literally a ghost trying to hurt the individual that's having the procedure by making something go wrong. I mean, and you can't go back to the family and go, oh, by the way, sorry, we couldn't, I had everything lined up, but that knife I needed right then and there, at that exact second, the ghost, we got a ghost around here, kind of wacky, moved it to the other room. Your friend died.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I know stuff can go awry with a surgery just because it's a high stress time.
Sure.
Even if the doctor's performed it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But I don't know
if that ever occurs. Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, obviously no one's going to, you can't really say that. But
no.
I'm just wondering if of its existence.
I don't know.
If anyone wants to fill us in on that, anyone in the medical community who listens to our show, you don't have to leave a name or a number or anything like that. Just fill us in on what you know. You can be completely anonymous. I'd be very curious. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Juliana writes in my first year of university, I took a road trip with two of my female cousins through Massachusetts. In Plymouth, we booked spots and a ghost tour and ended up being the only 3 people on the tour. The tour itself took us through two haunted houses, one of them being the former residence of an old sea captain. We toured the captain's bedroom and made our way down an enclosed back staircase from the bedroom downstairs to the kitchen. By chance or not, I was the last person to descend the stairs, and I did so. As I did so, I looked up at the staircase and saw the door at the top of the stairs to the captain's bedroom was closed. I asked the tour guide, who was standing across the kitchen with my two cousins, if he would like me to close the kitchen door at the bottom of the staircase as well. I pulled the door halfway closed when suddenly there was a loud thump on the other side of the door, forceful enough to slam the door in my face. It felt as if either someone standing on either side of the door had pounded their fist on the door or had kicked the door closed. Either way, I distinctly felt the reverberation spreading from the center of the door to the handle, which I was holding. The loud slamming of the door in the otherwise silent house terrified my cousins and me. In an eerily calm voice, the tour guide told us that the captain was probably telling us we had overstayed our welcome. He went over to the door, opened it all the way, and closed the door again, without a sound. It's been 3 years since then, and my experience at the captain's house in Plymouth has led me to become a haunted walk tour guide in Canada. If you're ever in Ottawa, I'd love for you to come on a tour with me and share some more true ghost stories.
I love haunted walking tours.
Yeah, they're fun. They're relaxing.
Great.
Especially when you see a ghost.
Yeah. That wasn't too bad.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. Did you experience anything on the Savannah one? Didn't you? No? Nothing when we were in that room at all at that restaurant?
There was a little bit of a cold spot.
But that was it?
But that was it.
Okay.
Which, being someplace unfamiliar to me, I can't say a cold spot is anything.
Sure.
Because that place may have a cold spot all the time.
That's true. I experienced the need to use the bathroom very badly. And I had to ditch the group for a minute.
And I had to wait for you.
No, you kept going down the road.
No, I kind of stayed back behind.
Did you? Okay. But and it was funny because I went to that very restaurant that they then took us in like 2 minutes later,
mm-hmm.
not realizing there was going to be a break. And my fear was I was going to come out and everyone would be gone. I wouldn't know where anyone was. Be wandering the streets of Savannah in the darkness by myself.
Yeah.
But no, that was an interesting tour. Nick writes in, "Hi guys, please forgive my poor grammar. English is not my first language, and I had this experience a year ago. At this point, I've asked several people online and offline, being people such as priests, psychics, etc., on what I saw, and I'm interested to get your opinion of what I saw this night. So my name is Nick, I'm 24 years old, and I'm a bouncer at a nightclub. I'm a very big dude and do bouncing to help pay for my university expenses and helping my mom out with bills. One night, I finished up my shift at the nightclub. It was around, I want to say, 1 a.m. on a Friday night. It was the last train home, and the station was surprisingly quiet for a Friday night. In fact, I was the only one on the platform as the train arrives. And I board my carriage, and there's an old couple on the train. They both looked like they were in their 70s. The lady gave me a smile, and I returned one back at her. I sat in front of them and put my headphones in my ears. Must have been 20 minutes into the journey when I feel this tap on my shoulder. I turn around to face the old woman. She and her husband had this look of pure terror on their face. And she said to me, "Please, son, you have to help that girl." I looked over the old woman's shoulder, and I see this girl could not be more than 19 years old. And there are these two guys sitting right near her. I'm scared they'll hurt her. I have no idea. When the girl or these two guys got on, I did not notice anything. She looked really uncomfortable and scared. So I think security instinct took over. I get up out of my seat and say, "Hey, assholes, you like picking on girls or scaring old people?" I argue with one of the guys, and it was getting real heated, and I basically was telling them to leave her alone. She's clearly not interested. At one point, he said to me, "What are you, a knight in shining armor?" And he shoved me. I'm a big guy, so I instantly shoved him back, and he landed on his ass. I think at this point, he and his friend got a bit of a scare and figured I'm just too big to fight, so they cursed me out and got off at the next stop. The girl thanked me and asked if I could stay with her until she gets off at her stop. I found out she was getting off where I was, and we got to talking. At one point, she said to me, "How come you said an old couple?" At this point, I had completely forgot about the old couple. I still remember I gave her a confused look and said, "What do you mean, the old couple that asked me to help you?" She responded, "What old people?" You were the only person on the train when I got on. I scoffed and said there were right there. They turned around and they were gone like they just vanished into thin air. I did not hear the train doors open or to leave, nor the sound of people moving in carriages or see them get off. To this day, it really scares me when I think about it. I have no idea where this old couple went or what they are.
I think maybe they're angels.
Yeah.
That's a neat story.
Because he probably would have never noticed her. Not that he didn't care, but if he was facing the other direction, headphones on.
Sure.
Anything could have happened, and he would have been oblivious to anyone else ever being on the train.
Mm-hmm.
So it took them knowing that, oh, we have to let this man know to help.
Yeah.
Right place, right time for an angel. And it seemed like the angel knew the future.
Yeah.
Too, which is interesting. How far in advance do they know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I completely agree. I mean, obviously, there'll be one if you got to know the girl anymore and could ask her questions, you know, about her family and such of, is it a grandparent or grandparents? Is it, you know, well, whoever?
Sure.
You know, could we narrow that down if they described who they, we described what they look like and things of that nature?
It may just be some older couple that's somehow attached to the train.
Sure.
So
that could be a possibility too.
Yeah, it might not even have anything to do with the girl other than knowing to help her.
Yeah, I don't think every time that there's a guardian of some sort that is always guarding a person.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may be someone that just looks out for the welfare of a building or a facility or an area and the people that are on it,
mm-hmm.
or frequent it. It's an interesting story. Jennifer writes in, first off, I think it is important to say that I'm hypersensitive. I see and feel things that a lot of people don't. I also see orbs. I've seen orbs since I was a teenager. Some orbs are large like a beach ball, and there are some as small as a fingernail. They come in all different sizes. I've seen blue, white, and on very rare occasions, I've seen red orbs. To describe what a white orb looks like, a white orb reminds me of looking through a misty, wet window with light showing through. Only a few times have I ever seen an orb change shape and grow in size, as if it's becoming an apparition. Now, going into the ghost story, my dad is a truck driver and brings home some really neat treasures that nobody wants anymore. I'm a bohemian at heart, so I love most vintage things he finds me. On one occasion, he brought home a box full of old vintage scarves and a black scuffed-up cross body leather bag. I loved the scarves and decided to sew lace around the tattered edges to give them a new life, but I felt very weird about that bag. I didn't even want to touch it. I thought about throwing it out, but I didn't want to hurt my dad's feelings. I opened the bag, and the lining was black, but the darkness inside this bag was very unusual and gave me the chills. I have bags with black linings, and you can still see clearly into the bags. This one was just pitch darkness. I felt like there was something there inside the bag. I was scared to put my hands inside to feel around. I eventually did and found a rip in the lining. Inside the lining of the bag, I found old used cigarettes. It should have been a really good reason to throw the bag out, but for some reason, I still felt like I could do something with it. I cleaned it up and cleaned it out and put it on the dress form in my bedroom. I'll say that the entire month prior to having that bag, my two cats and two dogs had slept every night in my room. That very day I put the bag in my bedroom, not one of my pets ever came near my room. I want to find that strange. I did find that strange, and I wondered if it was because of the bag. Every night for a week, I was hearing tapping all over my bedroom. At first, I thought it was the cats jumping on or off my furniture, but it was so frequent and all over the place. I also couldn't sleep because it felt like someone of a small stature was standing beside my bed watching me sleep. Then one night, in the corner of my room, I saw a giant orb that took up the whole corner. It tried to change and morph into a figure, then disappeared. I was surprised at how calm I was the whole entire week this was happening to me. Like this was normal. I definitely felt protected, like my guardian angels were looking out for me. That night I threw the bag out and the problem immediately stopped and the pets started sleeping in my room again. I do feel bad that I threw the bag away the way I did, like I threw out a person's spirit as if it was trash. I think I should have done something a little bit more respectful in getting rid of it, but I know that episode was just another learning experience for me.
No, I wouldn't feel bad getting rid of it. I mean, that seem to be a bothersome spirit. So I think that I would have done the exact same thing.
Yeah, I don't think all spirits necessarily, if they're giving you a very negative vibe, necessarily call for, you know, kid gloves.
No.
You know, it sometimes, if there's a bad feeling to it, I think that's the time to go, yep, got to get rid of this.
Mm-hmm.
Chances are somebody else found it.
Chances are somebody else found that there was something attached to it, and uh-huh. that's why they got rid of it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about it.
When I was a kid, my dad came home with something, a duffel bag he found in a dumpster.
Yeah.
My dad would find all sorts of weird shit out on the road selling insurance. And I think it was like, you know, I found it at a gas station somewhere. Mm-hmm. He was to throw his soda can away, and there was this large leather duffel bag filled, and it was a nice duffel bag.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought it home, and they went through it, and it was filled with it was like a total leather biker getup.
Oh, wow.
Not cheap.
No.
I mean, very expensive, you know, leather chaps, leather pants, leather jacket, mm-hmm. hat, whole nine yards. And it was a real deal.
Yeah.
Why this was thrown away, I don't know. We have pictures of me wearing it, sitting on the little toy car that I had that actually Harper plays with now.
Okay.
A little blue Fisher-Price wood car.
Yeah.
And I was probably a little bit older than her. I was probably about 4 or 5 at the time. And I'm all decked out in the leather that doesn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a cute kid picture. But it was very bizarre, and we never knew why we had it or anything. And I have nothing paranormal connecting to this.
What did you guys do with it?
They put a classified ad out for someone, and someone bought it.
Oh, that's good. So
they made a couple $100 off of it.
Well, sure.
But that's just before Craigslist, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you had to, like, literally go to the paper, put it out, and do that paper, letter, word, whatever it was. But, weird things like that.
That is odd.
So I'm sure if it was just tossed away somewhere in a public area, it was found.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get a story from that one next week.
Yeah.
You know? I'm waiting for something like that to happen, where a story interconnects.
Sure.
Of what somebody got rid of something, and then somebody, hey, I found this at in this city, and oh God, here we go again. You know. Next one, Holly writes, and hello, I'm a fairly new listener, so I'm not sure if the topic of my story has been covered before. I lived in my old apartment for about 2 years, and up until a year and a half living there, I had no paranormal experiences there. Or really ever had any paranormal experiences in my life. One afternoon, while I was in my room, I heard something loudly move on my desk. So I quickly turned around to look at it. My desk has a lot of things piled on it since I don't use it, so my first instinct was that something simply slipped off. But as I turned around, I felt something small and slightly electric hit my bare arm. Instinctively, I thought some sort of bug must have landed on my arm since it was summer. But there was no bug in sight. And bugs landing on your arm don't exert the firm pressure that I had just felt. It felt more like a jab, and when I looked at the area on my skin, there was a red mark from the pressure on my skin that looked like a finger had literally jabbed my arm. I lived there for a couple more months, and nothing paranormal ever happened to me again. What I gathered from that isolated experience was that an entity was just trying to let me know it was there, or something along the lines of that, instead of something more sinister. I was wondering if it could have been a transient entity, since I haven't really heard anything about them, or if that type of entity even exists, or if it could just be an entity that was always in my apartment or surrounding area that simply rarely made its presence known. Thanks for reading.
I think it could be all the above, but I'm leaning towards a passer-through.
Yeah, it's very hard to know. I'm going to go with D, all of the above.
And being an apartment, it could just be going from one apartment to the next until it finds one that it really likes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been poked by a ghost, and it feels just like being poked by a person sitting next to you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I thought you did it, but you didn't. So I would just say it's probably just something that's passing through.
And if that's where it's at, it'll probably just go away.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Lainey writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've only just begun to listen to your podcast program. I enjoy it so much, although some of the stories totally creep me out. That's the point, right? I like to share my story in the hopes that others who have similar experiences will find the courage to talk about their experiences. My story recounts visits I had by what some call the old hag. In 2005, my husband and I purchased our first home together. It's an older home built in the 1950s, but very comfortable for us. It's a three-bedroom, tri-level house with all bedrooms on the top floor. I've suffered with insomnia all my life. Even as a child, I would lie awake at night while everyone else was fast asleep. My husband and I are both lapsed Catholics, though at the time of my experience, we were active churchgoers. As a way to help me fall asleep, I'd begun praying the rosary while I lay in bed. It worked so well many times I didn't finish more than a decade before falling asleep. One night in 2007, I woke up to see a dark, horrifying figure slither up from my foot of our bed to come within inches of my face. It held me down by my wrists and got so close to my face I was literally nose to nose. Its face was dark, short, and wide, with mangled teeth and large, pointy ears. The sight was terrifying enough, but the smell of its breath was even worse. For a fraction of a second, I thought maybe our family beagle had climbed up on my chest, but it wasn't her because I could still feel her down at the foot of our bed. Of course, I struggled against it and tried to call to my husband for help, but no sounds came out. I couldn't even turn my head to see if he was awake and witness to my horror. Calling on my Catholic faith, I closed my eyes and began to pray. Within seconds, the entity was gone. It was much longer before I was able to get back to sleep. I know what most people will say. I was experiencing a neurological condition known as sleep paralysis. Although I understand why they might say that, I disagree. I've experienced sleep paralysis before, and this was not it. Years ago, I tried taking a common over-the-counter pain reliever labeled PM to try to help with my insomnia. Although the first night helped, I found that taking it more than one night consecutively, I experienced sleep paralysis. So I know exactly what sleep paralysis is, and my 2007 experience was not the same at all. I continued to have visits by this creature on and off for a year or more. Each time it was similar. Through prayer, the entity would leave. But what's really strange is my work schedule changed the following year, and my husband and I were able to attend church less and less. The less we attended church, the fewer nights I prayed the rosary and the fewer visits I had. So my question is why? Did my religiosity and nightly prayers contribute or cause the visits? Or was it all psychological? Was I predisposed to spiritual events as a result of my Catholic faith? And if prayers would make it go away, why would prayers before bed bring on attack? I appreciate any thoughts you have on the matter. Keep up the great work.
I'm wondering if maybe that angered it.
I could see that being the case.
And, you know, unless it's when it's in its almost attack type mode and it's trying to hold you down and then you pray for it to leave and it has to leave, you know, that being the case where it has to go away. But I'm thinking when you're just praying just to fall asleep, that it's probably getting angered by that.
Is it using reverse psychology to make you not practice your faith?
Could be that too.
Where it's essentially, hey, the more that she practices, the more I'm going to freak her out.
Yeah.
And if she draws the connection between the two, it'll make her not want to practice because I go away.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thought.
Yeah.
I don't know. Thank you for sharing that story with us. It's interesting. It's always interesting when you have someone talking about a sleep paralysis story who has perspective on it.
Yeah.
Who has experienced just regular sleep paralysis and then this version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, this was not it. This was not the same thing.
Sure.
So thank you for sharing that story. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. If you like the show, please support it. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. It's only $5 a month. You can sign up on our website. You can use PayPal, or you don't need to use PayPal. You can just sign up without it and also become an EPP that way in any country you are residing in. So check that out. Help keep us on the air. We do greatly appreciate your support. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.